Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside via Hospedia, your bedside entertainment system. At the start of our programme today, let's just for a moment reflect on a reading from the Old Testament and pray that God will this day renew and strengthen us by his word. I'm reading from Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. God gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There are many positions that are used for praying, but you may not have thought of one with arms outstretched like an eagle in flight. Try this with eyes closed just for a moment and imagine yourself to be an eagle, gracefully leaving a rocky crag and falling onto warm air currents. Hardly moving your wings at all, you find yourself carried along. The current of air does it all for you. It guides your movements and the direction in which you should go. It's now time to stop frenzied activity and doing so very much in your own strength. It's time to entrust yourself to a higher power. Ask yourself, what can you see? And look at the world with new eyes. Give thanks that you are held in God's care on the wind of his spirit. Let's listen to a beautiful song from the past, sung here by Jennifer Warnes and Joe Cocker. Love lifts us up where we belong.
On a mountain high.
In the Gospel reading you're about to hear, Jesus appears to his disciples, giving instructions to them, following his resurrection from the dead. Now it's almost time for him to depart and return to his Father in heaven. In words which came in time to be known as the Great Commission, he tells his disciples that all authority has been given to him, and that they must make disciples of all nations. He also tells them they must teach others to obey all, that is, everything that he commanded, and that he will be with them all the days of their life. That's four alls in all. So it's here in Galilee, where Jesus began to teach his disciples, that we have his teaching drawing to a close. Here's a hymn which sums up his message. It's called Go Tell Everyone, and it's sung from the Church of Mary Immaculate, Assumption Province.
God's Spirit is in my heart. He has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do. What I have to do. He sent me to bring the goodness to the poor.
Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more.
Tell blind people that they can see.
Sent me, so I'm sending you out to be my witnesses throughout the world, the whole of the world.
He sent me to bring the goodness to the poor.
Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more.
Tell blind people that they can see.
So let's listen to Jesus' words in our Gospel reading today from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." According to Matthew here, Jesus' words caused some of the disciples to worship him, but some doubted. You know, sometimes there are things so amazing, so incredible and beautiful, that people can't believe they're actually happening, and they have to pinch themselves to see if they're real and not a dream. Such as, "I can't believe I'm actually married now," or "I can't believe this new baby is ours." I heard these words just recently when someone I know moved into their new home with a beautiful view, all trees, and all they could say was, "I can't believe I'm here at last." There is wonder and awe in such words. Perhaps what's being said here is, I can't believe how I've been blessed to see all this. I wonder if the disciples' doubt mentioned here was that kind of expression. I don't believe it. Let's listen to a well-known hymn in country style about being filled with wonder, awe and thanksgiving. Let's listen to Alan Jackson singing, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!
So let's look at these four alls from that reading. Firstly, Jesus declares that he possesses a unique authority, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So this is not just some authority, not just most authority, but all authority. Did Matthew record this to let us know that Jesus was the one, the Messiah who was coming to save the world, and that no one else came close? The image that comes to mind for me here is that of a character in a book called Far From the Madding Crowd. A shepherd called Gabriel seems to be the only person who can save some dying sheep that are lying bloated in a field from eating young clover. Only he has the know-how and the authority to get the job done. But he has been dismissed from his job by Bathsheba, his beautiful employer, and is some miles away. So she sends him an order to come back. He replies by messenger that she will have to ask him properly, and she does so, writing, "Do not desert me, Gabriel." He returns and saves all the sheep, bar one. Bathsheba regrets firing him, and he agrees to come back to the farm. It's this kind of authority and knowledge that Jesus possessed. His authority was unique, and a far different cry from the ones who were shepherding Israel at the time, who acted like blind guides and were failing the people. But Jesus taught with authority. He forgave sins with authority, sent his disciples out to minister with his authority, and he performed great wonders with authority. Here's a hymn called, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, Thy Mercy Me.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth
to show the way,
from the earth to the cross,
my debt to pay,
from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
So what instructions did Jesus give his disciples? He said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Once again, making disciples not of some nations, not most nations, but all nations. The disciples could have just returned from the mountain to a place of worship, prayer, and fellowship, or even fishing. But that's not what they'd been told to do. From just 11 disciples, a whole world had to be reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. A story is told of Jesus returning to heaven, being greeted by the angels. And when they asked him what his plan had been to save the world, he replied, "I've entrusted the message to 11 disciples." The angels replied, "What if that plan doesn't work, Master?" Jesus replied, "I have no other plan." So, there was no plan B. The message of those 11 is still moving outwards today to people of every nation, not merely as a result of the 11, but as a result of millions of anonymous believers throughout time who were willing to pass their message on. Here's Marissa singing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back.
The third all comes where Jesus said, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." Not just some, not just most, but all, everything. In the lifetime of these 11, Jesus' words and deeds were recorded and sent around the churches so that others in the future could be taught when all the disciples had passed on to glory. When buying a Bible, we'll find we're not presented with a pair of scissors to cut out the parts we don't like, not a marker pen either to stretch the parts we do like. The whole message is important, for the Bible is a living word. It's described in Paul's letter to the Hebrews as a sword, a two-edged sword. He writes, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I love this next song by Amy Grant. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet."
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. And I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my side, and I will love you to the
And so we come to the final all, Jesus' words of assurance. He said he would be with them all the days of their life by saying, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I once heard David Watson, a vicar from York and a famous evangelist, speak of playing rugby at school, saying there was no greater reassurance than when racing to score a try with the opposition in hot pursuit, to hear the words, "With you," coming from a teammate. This is Jesus' promise to his disciples, that he would never leave them, for his own spirit would come upon them in his place to equip them to be witnesses. Then this leads me back to thinking about those air currents upon which eagles fly, which I spoke of at the very beginning of this program. And so we pray today, Lord God, as we seek to bring your message of truth and love and hope to the world, shown fully through your Son Jesus, we pray that you will carry and support us by your Holy Spirit. Then we can fly higher than the eagle, for you will be the wind beneath our wings. Amen. And so we end our programme with a song on this theme, sung by Bette Midler. Let's listen to her singing Wind Beneath My Wings. And thank you so much for listening. Bye for now.
It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walk a step behind. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength.